The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down, episode 260. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
So, people, how's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Adam Vale.
What are you wearing?
Brett Murdoch.
That's Brett Artist Coalition to you.
Yes, and Brian Monjoma.
Hello, hello.
All right, man, we're back with another one. You already know. By the way, I had this thought just as we were doing the intro. Maybe we'll save it for later. Do you guys want to talk about all this bullshit going on with YouTube, man? Because it could affect us.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk a little about it.
Yeah. So we can save that at the end. Anyway, we actually have a kind of packed show. A lot of shit happened this week, you know? A lot of controversy in the gaming industry, man.
Controversies.
but let's start things off with the October 2019 NPDs, man. So the first game, main game of the best-selling of the month, Adam, no surprise, you already know, your game of the year.
Call of Duty, damn, motherfucker, get down, oh my god, Jimmy, I miss you.
So there you go, so that's number one, The Outer Worlds, you know, number two.
Okay.
Right, I started playing that the other day.
What'd you think?
Been surprised by that.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, why are you surprised? I'm actually kind of, why are you surprised by that?
I'm pleasantly surprised. I didn't think it was going to have that much of a mass appeal.
Really?
Yeah, well, no.
Interesting.
I think it was the word of the hype behind it, and plus a word of mouth. A lot of people praised it, and yeah. I think people go based off of that, just like they do with Death Stranding.
I didn't think it was going to hit number two, but I thought it was going to be number five, just because it's a Fallout game. People wanted those after Fallout 76. Oh, by the way, Brett, not to change the subject, I was on a podcast earlier today with my friend Jose. One guy in there, I need to bring him on the show. His name is Soldier X. He loves Fallout 76. He says it's the shit.
Oh, maybe we can be friends.
Yeah, and he's a loudmouth New Yorker like I am, so you'll really like him, you know?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yes, call it like it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'm like, so think about it. A guy with my intensity that loves the game, like, it's over, man. Actually, Manny, I take back what I said, because I said you had the best review of Death Stranding. No, this guy did, man. His was funny. He was like, yo, man, you playing delivery, man? You putting on chancletas when your shoes run out? It was hilarious. Like, yo, man, you like didn't got no babysitters in the future. You got to lug around your kid. He's like, I fucking love it, and I hate Metal Gear. I'm like, oh, shit, this is crazy. Anyway, so, yeah, number three, Luigi's Mansion. No surprise there.
Mario.
Number four, Madden. Number five, NBA, the sport games. Adam, man, Broke Point. Number six.
There you go. People still buy this shit because that's the other thing. I mean, it was a hit. And if you're not paying attention to what you're hearing or reading things online, you're like, oh, well, I like the, you know, like Lion. So yeah. This has to be the same, right? They can't really fuck. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Number five is Madden. Number seven is WWE. Adam, your favorite.
There you go. See, that's another one.
I saw this dude playing it. Rare occasions I saw you playing that, Adam.
Oh, me? Oh, yeah, because I still haven't done the review for it. They keep trying to say they're going to patch the shit, and then they did this huge patch, and I'm like, all right, let me try the career mode. It's broken. Everything of the matches, I still have collision issues. I'm Irish whipping them near the ropes. They're falling through the rope, and it's like, ugh.
Man, it's all right. Yeah, where the fuck are we? FIFA, number eight. Number nine, Borderlands 3. Number 10, I've legit never heard of this game before. Ring Fit Adventure.
That's a Switch game.
There you go. That's why it's number 10. It's a Switch game. All right, that makes sense. Number
it's with that peripheral thing that you put a ring on.
You put a ring on it?
To work out. Yeah, it's like a workout thing. Yeah.
Number 11 is Link's Awakening. That dropped off a lot, actually. Wasn't it like higher up before?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was in the top 10 before.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mario Kart 8, number 12. Minecraft, number 13. Grand Theft Auto 5, number 14. That's kind of surprising. It's so low down there, but still holding on.
They haven't released a new DLC yet.
Yeah,
it'll jump right back up when they do it again.
Mortal Kombat 11, number 15. Overwatch, it's back on there, man. Number 16. Mm-hmm. Probably because of the announcement, because Overwatch 2 is coming, you know. Number 17, Super Smash Brothers. Number 18, Code Vein. A little bit of a surprise there. Red Dead Redemption 2, which just came out on PC, but I believe it came out on PC this month. Number 19, and Breath of the Wild. I want to know how much Breath of the Wild is. It must have sold over 10 million by now. Actually, Chris has a good question. What sold more, Breath of the Wild or God of War?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know the final numbers for God of War.
Yeah, we got to figure that out. And, okay, because we know Spider-Man sold around 13 million so far. Zelda must be on that same level, too, by now.
Yeah, because Spider-Man's not even on the list anymore.
No, it's not.
That would be just bonkers. If you think about the difference in install base, if they manage to hit the same numbers, that's just... Wow.
Well, I mean...
And by the way, Brett, soak it up, man. You were right, man. You were right.
It is nice.
The thing about it is that I think...
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Carlos.
Carlos himself was there as well, too.
Yeah, that's true, man. You guys were right, man. The old curmudgeon motherfuckers were wrong.
I think the other thing about it is I think Zelda is also doing well because most people who own a Switch own that game.
That is true. Remember,
it's not like Spider-Man where it's like, what would they say? I forgot how many it was.
It's 13 million versus 100 million sold. You know.
Yeah. So it was not even like all the, like if everybody owned Spider-Man, then it would definitely do it. But I think for Switch, I think a lot of the people that own essentially bought the damn thing essentially own the have that game as well.
Yeah. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember when the Switch was coming out? There were more copies of Breath of the Wild sold than Switch units sold.
Yep, there was that.
That's how crazy it was.
Well, man. Because you couldn't find the Switch, but you could find the game.
Yeah, you could find the game, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that when you hear about controllers and stuff before a console comes out. People always buy like one or two of them. You know, I was like, shit, why do they sound like hotcakes? You know, the shit's not even out yet. Well, people getting ready.
Yeah. Yo, Call of Duty is the best-selling game of the year right now. And it's changing lives.
It's a fun game. Volume's fun, man. Fun. The story's legit. You got all the stuff. They're always adding updates and stuff to the multiplayer, all the fun modes.
I wonder, having a bad game makes the heart grow fonder for Call of Duty.
Maybe. It's like they had a bunch of trash games, so they put out a good one. So, you know.
Well, this is why it's that old saying. It's like, you know, you speak with your wallet, and hopefully after this point, they'll be like, all right, you know what? We're never getting rid of a campaign, and if we don't have one at launch, then we just can't launch without it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, I want to just say that it's kind of fun that Adam and I like get to review the same game, so we trade notes and shit, you know. So that was pretty cool. You know, yeah, full disclosure. Oh no, I like did peruse Adam's review of Call of Duty just to see if I was missing anything. And there was one thing I forgot to throw in my review. I forgot what it was. It was something with shit. What the hell was it, Adam?
It was with the mounting and that you can mount.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because that's a new feature where you couldn't do that before, which is like sticking to corners and sticking onto things.
Yeah, I had no idea that wasn't even a feature before because I never played Call of Duty before, so I read
that. Yeah, and they nuked that one too in an update because I don't know if you noticed, whenever you did mount, you pretty much had a perfect shot.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't shake or anything. He was just, there was no recoil, so then they switched it so that now, you know, if you're using an LMG or something, you're sticking this thing, you'll start, you know, really twitching.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so those type of things.
That's cool. All right, any takeaways from check this out. The best-selling game of the last 12 months is still Red Dead Redemption 2. Because that was a fucking ridiculous amount last year, you know? Mm-hmm. But Call of Duty already went up there at number two, you know? But I don't see any big takeaways for this month. Kind of expected things, to be honest. A lot of sports games, as always, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see how sales were compared. Yeah, they're lower this year, but it makes sense. Obviously, they're a lot lower. Hardware, too. But there's no new systems this year. That's probably why. Didn't they launch the Xbox something last year? I don't know.
Whoa. Hold on a second. Did Outer Worlds get released on October 25th of last month?
Oh, shit. I think it did. Whoa, Brett. I know where you're going with this.
That was about it, but yeah.
I'm going to just verify that, but if it came out on the 25th, it did come on the 25th, and it in 5-6 days, it made it to the number two game of the month. That is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think you can safely say this is a fucking sales monster. Holy shit.
People were hungry for Fallout.
Man. Yeah, they wanted Fallout, so they got that. Shout out to Obsidian and Private Division, man. Congratulations.
Obsidian's like, yo, man, we can catch on this shit.
Yeah, yo, let's make Fallout. You want Fallout? We got Fallout.
We created that shit. They can't beat us at this.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to Manny's background. He's back in New York, man, for plug your shit real quick, man.
I'm back in New York for Anime NYC, which is happening this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'll be at Artist Alley Table C8. So, you know, I'll have all kinds of fun stuff there.
Very cool.
So if you're in NYC, come by and say hello, yo. What's up?
go check them out and we'll repeat that later on, too. All right, moving on here. We got to talk about the big controversy of the week, man. Pokemon Sword and Shield, man. Game Freak lied. And Chris, I wanted you to take a point on this one. What's going on with fucking Pokemon Sword and Shield, man?
Well, a lot of people were upset because there was a lot of data mining going on. And people pulling apart stuff from the game on Reddit to show that they didn't have the advanced animations that they promised, and that a lot of the character models are recycled from the 3DS. So they showed, I saw a few things on Twitter. People are showing side-by-side animations of the people, the characters, and the Pokemon, and the fight models, and they are the same. So they said that the original interview with Game Freak said that the Switch is a console and requires high fidelity animations and graphics. But they didn't quite say they were going to make high fidelity animations and graphics. You know, that was the missing part. They said it needs it. They didn't say they were going to provide it. I think they cut a lot of corners. They recycled a lot of stuff. They had a lot of assets that they could just drop in. And I think some of the stuff was cut. Mainly, people are saying the global trading station isn't in this game, and I think it's because they want to push Pokemon Home, which means and that you got to pay for, right? So on top of having Switch Online, you got to pay for Pokemon Home to get the access to that bank, and then you can port Pokemon from the old games into Home somehow, and then put it in the game, which it sucks because that means you can't meet up with your buddies or anything if you both have your Switches and on the road and you want to trade. I guess you can't trade, so that kind of sucks. So people are mad about that. People are mad. There's bad pop in and out. They were showing a character moving around the world and you see trees and stuff popping in and it looks very jarring. There was a lot of stuff that is kind of embarrassing, right? Really, the state of the game that it's in. And they had to push it because they needed that holiday game. But this one, I'm surprised. A lot of hardcore Pokemon fans, they're pissed. They're not happy. And honestly, they should have just delayed this game. And also, Game Freak said that they were in incredible crunch trying to get this game ready, right? Mm-hmm. So that looks bad compared to what they were saying, how they took their time with Luigi's Mansion and they don't want their people to work hard and whatever. I know that's Nintendo. That's like an internal team in Nintendo versus Game Freaks. But you have to be consistent across the board. You can't have one team losing sleep and trying to get a game pushed out the door and they can't go home. And another team like, no, we're going to give these guys time.
Well, I mean, to be honest, how do we know that Nintendo even raised the budget on this game? Like, how do we know that they just said you didn't give them the same sort of a budget from the previous games that they did, and just said, "All right, put this on the Switch."
Yeah.
Wait, does Nintendo give them a budget?
Well, they have a budget for everything, right? But
no. Like, but is Nintendo the one that gives it to them?
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, I mean, Pokemon Company is part owned by Nintendo, right? So that's it's Creatures Inc., which is the manga and the animation, right? And then Pokemon Company is a holding company, but Nintendo is the one guiding everything and providing the revenue for the production of the game. And they get a cut of it. So if they don't give them the time and the resources to make the type of game that they can't, well, people, I think it's part assumption and part they misled. They did mislead people. You have to produce something of quality. Like we know the Switch is capable of providing pretty animations, open world. So you can't have a game like Breath of the Wild where you run around the world and it looks generated and you don't have any jarring pop in or anything like that. And then you have Pokemon come out and it looks far inferior to that. Mm-hmm. So you can't do that, right? It's two years later. You don't have an excuse. You had another game come out just before this. You had Luigi's Mansion come out, and that looks gorgeous. So you can't cut corners like this or whatever and expect people just to buy it because it's Pokemon. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't. That's not going to work anymore. People are mad.
I feel like Pokemon suffers from the same sort of issue that Monster Hunter happened with Monster Hunter, where in other words, they were so many years working, essentially reusing assets from a PlayStation 2 all the way down to the Vita and all the way up to the Wii and the Wii U. Same assets, same environments, same creatures. And I feel like a lot of this is the same thing. Like they're not getting any more extra budget to produce higher fidelity sort of stuff. So they're just forced to kind of reuse the old shit.
I don't know if I mean, Nintendo is not one to skimp out on budget or the time it takes to get a game correct, or even pulling resources from there's a lot you can say about Nintendo. They don't generally release low quality half baked games unless they're built by their studios.
How much was the budget on those old Pokemon games? They couldn't have been great. Could have been amazing. I think they were low budget games, right? You know, low budget creation sort of games, but high. You know, high. They had a lot of money that came in from it, and I think this game is probably indicative of that same sort of mentality. Make this kind of sort of like game.
I put this more on Game Freak than Nintendo, man. I honestly feel like Nintendo should probably step in.
They probably will step in, but there's also another problem with Game Freak. They are working on this other game at the same time. They usually don't do that. They're usually resources devoted like directly to Pokemon, right? But they have this town game in development, and that's almost done. That's launching next year. And I just feel like this game didn't have enough time, enough manpower, and enough budget. All those were issues going into this.
I don't mean interest in the audience. I mean in Game Freak. Like the reason they're making this other town game was because everybody at the studio was so desperate to do anything but a Pokemon game. Like they were so sick of it. Like that's what the insiders are saying. Like they really just wanted to make something, anything other than Pokemon. Oh well,
I buy that. Sure, I buy that they're not interested, but it doesn't mean they're not going to put effort into Pokemon. But when you only have so much time and so much to work with, you're going to start recycling stuff. And the problem is every Pokemon game since forever has been portable. It's been on the 3DS, DS. You can cut corners, you can hide stuff, the graphics can look crappy, you can't tell, it's on a small screen. But you blow that up now, you take those wireframes, blow them up, start using the animations, people are going to see that it doesn't look good.
Yeah, no, I agree, which is why my argument is I don't know if they just, and I've been under the, fearful of the idea that maybe they just don't have the talent to do a fully fledged AAA title, because Lord knows they've been, kicking and screaming, dragging their heels on this thing, on the very idea of, this ever coming to console for forever. Like, maybe it's just not in their ability to do,
I'll hold out judgment for that when their other game comes out. If town is a mess like this, then I would agree with you. But I'm gonna say that they have the talent. They just didn't have the time or the resources to really polish this game.
So there's my question. Like, if Nintendo is part owner of this, like, why would Nintendo take one of their most popular franchises ever and cut it the development cost when they're clearly giving they're clearly giving Luigi's Mansion all the money that it needs.
Because of what it's done in the past. I think they're like, Nintendo's like, all right, this thing is not as strong as the other thing. So, we're just going to give you maybe a little bit more budget to do this version. But yeah. I don't think they spend a lot of money on Pokemon games in general. It's look at the previous games. Most of those games were all reused assets too.
Yeah, but Nintendo doesn't go bare bones on anything in-house, but like even ARMS.
Well, this isn't really like in-house. It's not in-house.
And that's my point. Like
Don't really take a hit on this. Look at the internet backlash. Nobody's saying Nintendo lied. They're saying Game Freak lied.
Yeah, that's the hashtag,
People are putting the blame right on Game Freak, like you're saying, right? Nintendo's not taking the heat for this. They also don't take a big loss, but they did put on the pressure that they needed a holiday title. They needed the big title for the holidays this year, and that was this game. So it doesn't look good that this tag is trending. People are pissed. People are saying they're not going to play it, you know, so it doesn't look good.
Yeah, Brian, you going to say something?
No, I'm just saying, like, it's like it is Pokemon. Like, I don't see them, like, not putting a budget behind it. Yeah, like, this game, well, the last Pokemon game that came out, the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, like, it was, like, the biggest selling game of last year, like, apart from, like, Red Dead and some others. Like, it outsold, it was, like, the biggest selling exclusive after Smash Brothers. Last year, it's like it sold lots of copies. I don't see them like not putting like the push behind it in the center budget.
Yeah,
by the way, that game was also reusing assets too. Not only that, it was also reusing a story.
Yeah,
from the previous one.
But yeah,
so a lot of that stuff was reused.
Yeah, I'm with Brian on this. I'm like, guys, really, like, you couldn't put more money into this. It's like, what crunch? Like, just, it doesn't matter when you're going to put this game out. People are going to buy it. It doesn't matter if it's the fall or fucking April. People are going to buy this shit. So I'm lost to understand why they felt the need to rush this shit. I don't get it, you know?
I think they just needed a holiday. They needed a Black Friday title.
Oh, is that what it is? I mean, that was my thinking, but I'm like, that's like Nintendo's going to sell shit anyway, you know?
They absolutely. I agree with that. I just think they're stuck in that mindset. They need their big holiday title.
Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion's, already launching on Halloween, so that's not it, right? I mean, that title will sell well, but that's not their holiday title. And Pokemon has the name to go with it. That's what they were riding on, but the early reception is not good. People are upset.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, I want to know how with all this, with all the assets and stuff aside, right? How is the game actually? Is it pretty decent?
Well,
It just happens to happen now.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. Another complaint was that it was short. People are saying they beat it in 12 hours.
Whoa.
And that there was like certain weird restrictions, but the fights were easy, the battles were easy, the gyms were easy. So, I mean, these are hardcore people who played all the games. So this game apparently is like cake compared to the old ones. I guess you don't have the grind anymore, and so you could just plow through it.
I've heard people saying that it's not so much the only. I was looking up reviews for this. Like, it's been getting rave reviews, and there seems to be a split between the like really super hardcore Pokemon players and other people. And that other people, like a lot of people reviewing the games, giving them really high praise, have played every single Pokemon game ever made. Like, it's not like, you know, they're newbies to the genre, but there's also a high degree of accessibility to it. Like, and I think this goes for any RPG, even RPG Lite, which is Pokemon, like, you get to a certain point where after iteration after iteration after iteration, you keep adding new systems and keeping them, and it becomes this weird convoluted mess. And I think that they intended, at least in this one, for better or worse, I think it was intentional to kind of go back to the roots and kind of relaunch the series. That's why they don't have the Pokédex in there, you know.
But that became another major complaint.
It absolutely did, and that's why I say I don't know if it was the right decision. But I think that, you know, you can see it in the things from what I've heard, like you can actually skip tutorials now, which is something they've never let you do before. So they're kind of trying to streamline it and make it more accessible to general audiences. And that's
what Let's Go Pikachu Eevee was. That was also the big complaint with a lot of the fans, too, with that one. Where I said they were saying it was kind of a dumbed down version of whatever Pokemon used to be. Remember?
Yeah. And I think this one still is, but less so. I've heard people say, you know, it's what they want a Pokemon game to be. You know, everybody's a little bit disappointed that it's not Breath of the Wild Pokemon.
Oh, but, is that what they're expecting?
I think that's what a lot of people are expecting, but I think that people are forgetting that there is such a thing as talent that comes into these types of things. You know, Breath of the Wild wasn't just slapped together by just, you know, four or five guys. They just grabbed at Nintendo. Like, it was made by people who were masters of their craft and at the height of their career being directed by one of the most famous video game creators of all time. Like, it's... You can't always capture that lightning in a bottle. I mean, fuck, they may not even capture that lightning in a bottle with Breath of the Wild 2.
Here's a question. How long ago was this game announced? As I remember, it wasn't that long ago. I think it was less than 3 years.
Wasn't it during that E3? They just had like a logo or something?
I don't know. No. There was that one where they were saying that there is a Pokemon game coming. Yeah. What was that?
Oh, it was when they showed Eevee.
Yeah, they announced that, but that was like their apology for Pokken Tournament.
Oh shit, that's right. Yeah, by the way, I want to read some comments from Big Mike. He has a different take on this. He goes, I can't wait for Pokemon. I got it. I bought it and downloaded it. People that are crying are fake. They just want to cry about something like Spider-Man, Puddle Incident, and Death Stranding being a walking simulator. Madden and Call of Duty use the same animations. Mike, man, you can't let this slide like that, bro. You know? Like, you know, you could say that with, like, the older Pokemon games, but, like, people expected this to be a really big budget type of game, well, you know?
Okay, he's not wrong in all regards. Excuse me. So the
What you're saying, Big Mike, but, like, you know, go ahead, Brett, go ahead.
So I think Game Freak probably shouldn't have opened their fat mouth, because to a certain extent, a lot of the wireframes, like, they're not bad. And I've heard developers chime in on this. There's nothing wrong with the frames. In fact, you know, the fact they streamlined it, you can cut some pixels out and just import a lot of them. It's not necessarily a bad thing. They could have added new animations, sure. And just because they're using the same skeleton doesn't mean that they're not covering it with a more, you know, high resolution skin. But at the end of the day, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, I don't see the character model. The thing that everybody's getting so up in arms about is, you know, where they're really pointing out, you know, these framing models, and you can count the number of triangles in them and, you know, show mathematically that they're the same, sometimes even less triangles, so therefore they're less high density models. But again, that's a skeleton that you wrap textures over, and anybody who's ever modded GTA knows that you can make a hell of a lot of difference with just high resolution textures. So I'm kind of on the fence. I'm like, they should not have directly said that they were going to build everything from the ground up, because that was just a stupid thing to say when you have assets that you can decide what can get reused, what needs updated, and what can get pitched. Like, you don't need to start from the beginning every time, but then they didn't do it. So I'm kind of on the fence. I don't think that they need... Am I the only one in the room that doesn't think they need to reinvent the entire game?
No. I think it's perfectly fine. You know, like if it's working, then why not?
Yeah, but I guess it's because people just expected them to do one thing, and they.
Well,
got
I mean, the same argument happened on Let's Go Eevee. They're like, well, we expected this game to look a little bit more a little more next generation, when it just literally looked like a better textured version of whatever was on the 3DS. Right?
Yeah.
That's exactly the same complaints that I had the last one. What were the two complaints about the last one that everybody was saying? They were saying, wow, the game doesn't look any better than the ones that were on for the 3DS. And two, everything was all simplified. So it's the same conversation, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, but less. I mean, like, Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu were actually simplified. They were halfway between a Pokemon game and And so, from what I understand, it is a Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go and make it into a, you know, into a game, into a console game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they streamlined Monster Hunter 2 when they made World.
Great. No, I was about to say that.
Well, no, I think they definitely streamlined that sort of it, but they also had to rebuild everything for Monster Hunter World.
See, I thought that's what they were going to do with this. They were going to rebuild it like Monster Hunter World, you know? Yeah. So I obviously I don't agree with the vitriol and all that hatred they're throwing at developers. You shouldn't be doing that. But I at least understand where the anger is coming from, because they did expect that and they didn't get that, you know. So I understand that.
But they did get a lot of stuff. I don't mean to pull the entitled gamers card, but and I'm not defending Game Freak, but they did get a lot. They got a fully rotating camera. They got a changing overworld that's, yes, it's a giant glorified lobby that you return to, but it changes apparently every day, and you know, you can see Pokemon in the overworld, so you have the rotating camera. You have Pokemon in the overworld, you have better animations for a lot of stuff, even if it's not by much, running on a better engine that doesn't hiccup or slow down. Like, it is, if you asked Pokemon fans to write down what they wanted on paper, half of them, this is what you would pretty much be reading this.
Yeah.
And like, I'm still trying to understand this national Pokedex thing, I'm hoping maybe somebody will be able to explain it to me. From my understanding, you've been able to roll through your old Pokemon into every Pokemon game up until now. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you could play them. You could just kind of put them in a room or see them on a list somewhere and know that you still have them, but you couldn't pull them out and battle them in whatever game that you're playing it in. Which immediately,
I thought you could use them, maybe not early game, but late game, after you beat the final four or whatever the fuck it is in each game, you could access them and use them.
Okay, so they are playable in all the games?
I believe so. I believe you could push everything from the old DS games up and the last GBA game. You could keep pushing them forward, and you have access to them. I know in Black and White, I pushed up some from Heart Gold, Soul Silver, and I couldn't access them until after I did the end game thing. And then there was a second end game thing, and then I could access them.
Okay.
All right. Anything else you guys want to say about the Pokemons?
Well, I'm just curious. Like, I want to get everybody's opinion on. I mean, we've gotten the opinion on, I guess, what we think about Game Freak and all that stuff. But I'm wondering where everybody's landing on Pokemon.
Pokemon's whack. Move on.
Nice. Yeah, I'm with Adam. I'm with Adam. I don't give a fuck about Pokemon. Never have. Never will. Don't care.
No, I never really cared about Pokemon. I played, you know, I played like one of them. I think the Black and White or whatever version I played. And you know, it was fine, but it was nothing really. I really have no connection to it.
I've enjoyed it. I mean, Kristen is a big Pokemon fan. Mm-hmm. She was looking forward to the games. We might still get it, but I think that a lot of things she was looking forward to, especially the Global Trade Station, is not there.
Yeah, Brian, Pokemon.
The damn game's gonna sell like millions anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Like, people are mad now, but the game's gonna sell like millions.
I think it was still, yeah. People are mad the last game.
Yeah, no, you're right about that's gonna sell. You know, watch it be in NPDs next month. Guarantee you that.
Oh, it's going to be like one of the top selling games of the year, like top 10 selling games of the year.
Let's put that into perspective. It's going to be top selling game, one of the top selling games of the year.
imagine it beats Death Stranding.
Imagine. Well, it will. It will beat Death Stranding. Yeah, of course it will. Yeah, it's easily beat up.
It's a lot more of a wider appeal than that game does.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, there's a hardcore guy who will buy both copies. Just to access all the Pokemon, right?
Yep. They always do that, man. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, moving on here. So one of the other kind of controversies was Google Stadia. They held an AMA on Reddit, Ask Me Anything on Reddit, and people were pissed, boy. Basically because on launch day, it's going to be missing a ton of features, you know? And if you'll indulge me, I'm going to go through some of these. So, and they did promise that these features will be rolled out every week or so, you know, but people didn't like that. So they said on day one, PC Chrome gameplay will not support 4K HDR or 5.1 surround sound. Those features will be added in 2020 for PC gamers. Remember, they kind of like, hey, you can play these games in 4K, man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have in that. Stream Connect, which I'm reading this from Ars Technica, by the way, which allows one player Stadia viewpoint to be integrated with another player stream, will not be available in any launch game. The first game to use it is expected to launch by the end of the year. Stream Connect, I don't know what that is. I guess it's, hold on, which allows one player's Stadia viewpoint to be integrated with another. So it's like you could watch somebody else's gameplay or something?
Yeah.
Okay, so they won't have that. State share, which lets users share save files via links. And crowdplay, mm-hmm. which allows for a quick jump into multiplayer through a YouTube stream, will not be integrated. Remember, that was another big feature they touted. You know, it's like, oh, uh-huh. hey, you know, you're watching this guy live on Twitch, on YouTube, you can just jump instantly. Can't do that. Google Assistant at launch integration will be limited to the ability to turn on the TV and start a game. All right, because remember, there were supposed to be a lot of like functions. It's a whole mm-hmm. list of shit here that just
xCloud for life, Microsoft xCloud. Oh, yeah, we're gonna get to game X-Cloud. Over Google.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that. And xCloud is better than Stadia. We're gonna get to that. To the mobile support will be limited to Google Pixel phones, man. Remember, this only play any device you want. You know.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's only that one.
As long as we made it.
mm-hmm. Okay.
The Stadia's controller wireless functions will only work with Chromecast at launch. So you got to plug the shit in, you know?
Okay.
Only 12 titles available at launch, with 14 more by the end of the year.
And three of them are Tomb Raider.
And three of them are Tomb Raider?
Yeah, you got a quarter of your games are Tomb Raider games.
Oh, my God. The other ones will be at the launch window. At the highest visual quality, the Stadia app warrants that user usage might reach 20 gigabytes an hour. That's above some previous estimates that expected 17.75 gigs per hour for 4K HDR signal with 5.0 surround sound. Somebody translate that shit for me. I just read it. I don't know what the fuck it is read.
I guess that's the amount of bandwidth it's going to use per hour.
That's what it sounds like to me.
To stream the game to you? Yeah. So you're using 20 gigs an hour? Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. Okay, I should have read the whole thing. Basically, what this means is limiting the stream to 720p stereo quality via the app caps data usage to 4.5 gigs per hour.
So it's a 720p. So it's not even 1080.
Yeah, they needed to cut it. The data is too high. Shit.
Yeah. Let's see. A personal Stadia stream will continue to run for 10 minutes after you shut down on one screen, allowing you to switch to another device and pick up where you left off. Okay, that's good. These are the things that are going to be included, so that's good. Mm-hmm. You should expect regular games. I don't know why that's quoted. You should expect regular games as freebies with your $10 a month Stadia Pro subscription, but Google can't commit to a solid schedule for the availability yet. Okay, I guess kind of how the fucking Epic Store gives you free games. I guess they're going to be doing something similar. Yeah, it says right here, similar to Sony and Microsoft giving out free games. That's cool.
Okay. So it's essentially Google Plus.
Yeah, pretty much. Stadia will use letterboxing to fit the game image on screens that are not set to the standard 1080p or 4K aspect ratios. Do they even have any old school type of 4x3 games on this shit? I don't think they do, do they?
I don't know.
No.
I think they're all
modern games, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, what do you guys think about all these features that were promised?
Whack. Everybody knows this shit's whack. But that's the thing. They should call this like an early access instead of calling it a launch, because it's not ready. This is not ready.
No, it's not. Yeah.
And you know, like it seems weird that that whole press conference, all it was just vapor talk. You know. It's just stuff that they may want to do, stuff that they want to do, but really it's not. Most of that stuff was impossible. And didn't I say that? Didn't we all say that?
Yeah, we did.
How is anybody, why is it, at any point, how is this going to be viable to anybody, you know, who, the audience that they want to, who's the audience for this? Is it hardcore gamers? Because right now, you can literally play a bunch of these games that are already on the Stadia, right? They're all old games. Old Tomb Raider games. Old, last year's Assassin's Creed. You know?
Yeah, they're charging full price for those games.
And charging full price for those games. When you can literally go onto Steam right now, if you have a PC, and you can play it in over 1080p on your PC. You can put both Xbox and PlayStation's, digital services, their streaming services, output at a higher resolution than this.
Yeah, so, exactly. So why, if you're a dedicated gamer that already has a PS4, Xbox, or even a Switch, why would you want this shit? You know?
Yeah.
Especially at launch, the functionality is limited to where you could even play this shit. You know?
Mm-hmm. So it's I mean, yeah, okay, it'll get better, but I mean, the thing is, it's all that. The one thing about to remember about like just in gaming and technology and like anything, it's always about those first impressions. The first impressions is what killed the Xbox, One. The first impressions of what killed the PlayStation 4 until they were PlayStation 3 until they were able to pull out of that downward spiral. So they really need, and now they're, you know, for Stadia and Google, they're coming out there and they're telling you a bunch of things that you don't want to hear.
Yeah, right.
You don't want to hear all these things that all the things that we showed you was just, you know, that's coming later. You know,
Stadia, man. I don't know. Is anybody in here even gonna try this shit? It's coming out on the 19th.
No, thank you, sir. No.
I'm skipping that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Brett.
I'm fucking stoked.
Oh, man. Hey, one of those rare times where we're unanimous on Throwdown, man.
He has to break the...
Yeah, all right, man.
Yeah, that was heavy with sarcasm, though.
Yeah, of course.
Yes,
man.
I know.
This thick, man. With two C's, you know? Move the fuck on, man. Let's get on some better news. So today they had the XO19 event, which is an Xbox-centric event. They announced a bunch of shit. We're going to save the main showstopper for a little bit later. Adam, you already know what I'm talking about. We'll get to that. Project X Cloud, it's going to give it to you, and it's better than Google Stadia.
Man, I was really hoping that they were going to say, and it's out now. Go man, get
you
know, it.
It's under your seat right now, man. Son.
Get it. Out there, the horn.
Get the same X Cloud, because that's how it works.
Yeah, man. All right, we'll talk about X Cloud in a bit. Let's talk about the other announcements. So,
get DMX to come out. X gonna give it to you. Gonna give it to you.
You know, the X Men will show up just because, you know. By the way, you can watch X Men on Disney Plus right now, man. I'm your baby tonight. All right, so there's going to be 50 new games coming to the Xbox Game Pass, including, for the first time ever on Xbox, the Yakuza series, man. It's coming.
Whoa.
Excuse me? Yeah, man. Crazy
stuff. So they're doing that Yakuza, was it the Yakuza collection, right?
Yeah, they're going to do that, you know, which is really cool. So Xbox guys, because I'm being honest right now, there's a lot of Xbox guys, because I'm like, yo, man, you know, they're always on there talking shit like, oh, man, I love Shenmue. I'm like, you play Yakuza? Nah, I don't want to play it. Like, you know, it's on PlayStation. I'm like, okay, it's on Xbox now. What's up?
Oh, and one, I guess this links with the end comment we're going to talk about, but this is also going on xCloud. So smack in the face of those 12 games is 50.
The X, man. You know? Mm-hmm. All right.
X going to give it to you. Going to give it to you.
Give it to you. Go give it to you. All right, so okay, this again, I'm just reading this off this fucking Tech Radar thing. So this, a lot of this surprised me. Rare is developing a new game, people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I feel like I heard about this.
It's not Avatars? It's not an Avatar?
No, it's called Everwild, a new IP from Rare. The company, yeah, we know they did Sea of Thieves. Come on, what the fuck? Okay. I don't know what the fuck this game is about, but there's a new IP from Rare. There you go. Okay. There's going to be some Black Friday deals, man. So I'll read them to you. So they said U.S. gamers, that's us right here, and except for Brian, obviously. Brian, you guys have Black Friday over there, right?
Yeah, it's called American Friday.
Got
no.
Politically correct over there, you know what I'm saying?
They do have Boxing Day where you get to just punch people in the street.
Punch people in the street, get away with
take it. Take it, you bloke.
Yeah. This motherfucker hit me. It's Boxing Day, motherfucker.
Wanker Tuesday.
It's a wanker. I'll stop right now. British people are funny, man. All right. U.S. gamers can expect to see the Xbox One S, the Xbox SAT edition, for $149, and it comes bundled with Minecraft, Sea of Thieves, Fortnite, Battle Royale, and the Legendary Rogue Knight. What the fuck? The Legendary Rogue Spider Knight skin. I don't know what the fuck that is.
No, it's probably for Fortnite.
Probably. So you get three games for the Xbox SAD.
And you get a fancy skin.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're just mashing up Spider-Man.
Really? I'm like, I have to stop. I'm like, let me read these one word at a time. What the fuck am I reading?
The Legendary Spider Guy skin of Doom.
Knight. Skin.
Yeah.
Night.
On The Simpsons, I know what those words mean, but that sentence doesn't make any sense.
They literally gave it a Kojima name.
Yeah, right.
Spider Knight. Yeah,
the Xbox One X will get a minor price drop to $349 and be available inside a number of bundles, including Gears of War 5 special bundle, while select Xbox One controllers will get a $20 price drop from November 24th to December 2nd. Pretty cool.
They're usually $60, right? So now there'll be like $40?
Yeah. Check this out. So Forza 4, Sea of Thieves Anniversary Edition. I guess that makes sense. Sated the okay. K2 and Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice will be 50% off this holiday season, people.
All right. Get you some Senua.
Yeah, get some Senua, man. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, guys, we're going to start the line here for tickets to the sinking ship.
Oh, shit. Oh, the Titanic, man.
Hey, they're discount tickets, man.
You know? Microsoft also announced that Gears 5 will get a smaller but still appreciated 33%. Okay, there you go. A little discount. What the hell is this? Don't Nod Entertainment. They're the same people that did, whatchamacallit? Damn it. What's the name of the fucking game? Life is Strange. They did Life is Strange. Mm-hmm. It literally says it right here. I'm racking my fucking brain. I should have just kept reading. They're going to have a new game called Tell Me Why. It's going to be another game in the same vein as the Life is Strange. Ones.
Is it going to be in the same universe like the one with the kid?
Yeah, I'm not reading the rest of this. Come on, man.
The Life is Strange-iverse?
Yeah. Grounded, there's another game called Grounded. Xbox Game Studios and Obsidian Entertainment announced Grounded, a new first-person co-op survival game coming in spring 2020 to Xbox One through Xbox Game Preview with Xbox Game Pass, Microsoft Store, and on Steam. Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, that's literally all the announcements, for Xbox XO19.
Okay,
so let's talk about
the Obsidian Grab. Nice.
What happened?
Yeah, Obsidian. I said Obsidian Grab. Nice.
Yeah, man. So let's get to the showstopper of the show, which was the X Cloud, Project X Cloud. And Adam, since you're so
X gonna about give it to you, gonna give it to you, X gonna give it to you. Oh
yeah.
Shit!
He was waiting for that one. He's charged up. He's charged up.
Yeah, like Wolverine. You know, da-na-na-na-na.
That's right. It. They should have had something like that. I mean,
yeah, Adam, give any details on this shit, man.
Because I was in and out of it. I went to a roller skating ring. I was roller skating when this happened.
Oh,
yeah. My daughter wanted to go roller skating, so we went roller skating.
So wait, quick question: did they have real roller skates, or were they roller
quads? We went quad, old school.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we had quads, and now they do all this craziness, strobe lights, and all kinds of stuff. But that was always there, just with the disco ball.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but with the X Cloud service is still coming in 2020, but yeah, it's gonna incorporate Game Pass and 50 games right at launch when it does go live, and it supports not just the Xbox controller, but your PS4 controller and your 8-bit do and all that other whatever else you want to plug in that has the button configurations, it will support and work. So if you want to use your PS4, go ahead and do it. That's something that the Stadia can't do.
Is that legal?
That is legal. Yeah, you know, only in America.
Hey, Microsoft PlayStation's already paying Microsoft for bandwidth. So why the fuck not? Like, hey, yo, Sony, can you give us the IPs on to make this shit work?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
And then when it does launch, it's going to launch on all platforms. I'm talking about tablets and phones and your other computer devices, doesn't matter the OS, it's just going to work on everything.
PlayStation,
everybody. Who knows? Maybe if you bring up the web browser, you might be able to log in and do some weird shit. Who knows?
I wouldn't be surprised, bro.
they'll figure out some backdoor way to do it. I'm like, wink, wink, get this too. They'll figure something out. But no, it sounds great. It sounds great. Everything looks fine for it. You know, just when it deploys, that's the big thing right there. And the fact that you have to still stream everything over, we want to see that perform. But of course, that's going to vary based on connection, based on location, based on services that you have. You know what I mean? It's like, is this going to impact if, let's say, you're doing it? Because they said you could do this not just over Wi-Fi, over data. So let's say, sort of like what the Vita tried to do with AT&T. Mm-hmm. Remember when they did that partnership and you buy data cards? That shit flopped. So are we going to see some shit like that pop up? Are we going to see different plans? Like, hey, you have xCloud, then this will be like, you can get the standard data package, minimum data package, or you can get the gaming data package, which supports xCloud. Wouldn't be surprised if we see that from like Verizon and T-Mobile and all of that. Yeah, if that comes out, then that's definitely going to blow Stadia out the water, because that's a big issue right there. Like what you just read off, all those data issues. Shit, so now aren't you, you're not just going to be stressed about getting lost in a game. You're like, shit, I'm stressed, I'm lost in the game, and I'm losing data. I can't be wandering around like this. I'm going close to my cap, I'm done. So you might not be able to finish the game until your next billing cycle. Because of your data cap.
That's right.
You know, so it's like, shit, can I play this? You know, but then the other thing is with all this, they release some crazy numbers. I don't know if anybody has this, but I should have found this. They were releasing numbers saying that the games that were on Game Pass, they have shown that people actually have, the sales for these games have actually gone up. People,
oh, because of Game Pass?
For games outside of Game Pass. So people are actually buying the games. So sales are like 6%.
They're using Game Pass to kind of test the game.
And it's like, you know, and then I saw some comments, it was wherever the thread that I was reading on, it was like, why would people do that? They just have it. It's like, the reason why, if you turn on notifications, I have Game Pass, and most of you guys have Game Pass, if you turn on notifications, you get notified when certain games are being removed. And they tell you, hey, so-and-so game is going to get removed. So this will be your chance to get, because you also get a 20% discount from that game. And if that game is on sale, you get 20% off on top of the price from the sale. So it sort of makes sense that people are like, hey, I want to buy this. While you're buying it's on Game Pass. Yeah, it's not going to always be on Game Pass. And I have my discount and the game's currently on sale. So it's on sale plus my discount, so I might as well pick it up. So I can see that. And they said also that they saw an increase in genres that typically aren't played, widely played now based off of Game Pass. That makes perfect sense too. Because how many times you'd be like, you know, this is something I wouldn't pick up or buy, but it's already there in my service. Why not? You know, and I'm sure Outer Worlds is in that genre.
I was about to say, like, think about it. Like, how many people don't pick up, like, you know, they pick up a lot of indie games off of PlayStation Network just because it's free. You know what I'm saying? You're right. That makes perfect sense, you know? That's kind of interesting, man. By the way, you guys in the chat are brutal, man. They're calling this Stadia 76 because they say it's a failure.
Damn.
Okay,
this is going to flop. They're going to have to come up with something else. But, yeah, so that was interesting. And then it's very positive for developers to say, hey, look at this. It's like, this is actually turning into sales, not just from what we talked about last week, where if people download it and that's how they get their money, but just the fact that, let's say you play, I don't know, just throwing out something like a Capcom game. You're not into any of that type of shit. And there's a game on there. You play. You go, wow, do they make any other type of games I might like? And that, you know, Lost Planet and other weird things. You know what I mean? This can open up your mind to other games and just expose you to something else. Or like Outer Worlds. And it's like, oh, wow, I like Outer Worlds. I want to play others like this. Well, you got the Fallout series. That's all there. So you can just grab all of those. You know, and then maybe if you want to get real crazy and you don't care, go Fallout 76, live on the wild side, do it. You know, so I was very interesting for them to say all that and that they had numbers to back it up, because it just shows, hey, this model works. It's not just sending your game onto this service because, hey, well, they paid for it and it's going to die. No, it's actually helping, you know, general game sales.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to what, well, you know, some of us have been saying here, how they're kind of, again, leaning more towards being a service more than anything, you know? Yep. And it's, you know, I mean, even if you don't have a console, you can still make a lot of money doing shit like this, you know?
And so, I think if this works out with xCloud, this can change how people play games all around and what they get. Because let's say you're out and about or whatever, you're going to carry a controller with you now because you know it's going to support your xCloud, it's going to support your phone, and you have your little kickstand or whatever, and it's like someone says, oh, so-and-so game is on, you know, this service, whatever, and you're in a Wi-Fi area, you can do a connection, a fast connection, or maybe you just have really good service. You can just pop that out on the desk and boom, and just start playing it right there. That's nuts. If it works like that.
Yeah, here's my question, man. The $60 million question. Why is this better than Stadia?
Well, easy, because you have the game library, and it carries over, not only from here, but also on your console. So you can play it on an actual console and download it. Well, no, actually, I think if it's linked with Game Pass, it will give you the option to download. But if you just have xCloud, then you do the streaming.
Oh, okay, I got you.
You know what I mean? Because remember, again, if you have Game Pass, you download it, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that was a thing. It's like if it sees that you have it, but I don't know if anything's going to be exclusive to it. I doubt if anything's going to be exclusive to xCloud. That'd be dumb.
Yeah, that would be stupid. My thing is, like, I think it's better just on the fact that, you know, Microsoft on the Xbox division has way more, experience when it comes to gaming than Google does. So I'm like, I already trust Microsoft implicitly over that alone, you know?
Mm-hmm. It actually has interesting and new titles that are going to be on there. You know, once they launch it, that's the other thing. They said once they launch, they will have, like you said, a bunch of other games are going to be available, and some of them are going to be from their in-house studios.
You know, hold on. Oh, I'm sorry, Adam. Finish off. I just got to add something that just came to mind. Go ahead. Finish off.
Yeah. So in theory, it will have exclusive, something that Stadia does not have. Yeah. So
yeah, that's true. Three Tomb Raider games, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So really what it comes down to,
though, all the Tomb Raider
games, it comes down to performance. Whichever performs better. And we're all assuming, just because Microsoft has been in the game much longer when it comes to this, literally, that it will be the xCloud to win out on this.
Yeah, here's something I just thought about right now. It's a little bit off topic, but it's still on it. Because we talked about how Gears of War didn't do very well on the NPDs, and we were like, hey, is it because of Game Pass? The Outer Worlds was on Game Pass day one. That motherfucker was sold almost as much as Call of Duty, so maybe it doesn't affect it as much as we thought, you know?
No. Think about that. I don't think so.
6 days. 6 days, number two game, you know?
Yeah, man.
So I guess Game Pass doesn't really, you know, destroy games like some people feared. You know, I even thought that too. I'm like, shit. What do you think about that, Brett? It's just a theory I literally just had right now.
I think at that rate, it was day for day outselling Call of Duty.
I believe so, yeah, because Call of Duty was out longer, I believe, yeah. Man, that is insane. But what do you guys think about do you think Game Pass really does hurt game sales? Outer Worlds kind of proved it doesn't. And that was their day one on Game Pass.
It has to at some point. You know, if there's a Venn diagram, there has to be a crossover of, you know, people who buy games every month and people who have Game Pass. And I think the real hardcore gamers are probably the ones who have Game Pass.
Yeah.
I think games that capture a wider audience, including some of the more casual ones, who are going to be the ones who don't have Game Pass. And that's when you're going to see the numbers hit. So yeah, it probably has an effect, but only on, you know, the most hardcore of the hardcore, so a fairly small percentage of people, and those people probably are going to be the ones that spend money on DLC anyway, so they can probably recoup some of those losses. Those are people that are gonna be like, well, fuck it, I'd be spending money on games anyway, you know, I'll just buy this DLC or this bonus content or this cosmetic stuff instead. So I imagine to a very small extent, but no, probably not as much as you'd think, because, you know, you gotta assume that there are people out there who don't have Game Pass that still buy games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I want to know if there are numbers for this, like, what the percentage of Xbox users that have Game Pass are right now. Because remember, it's not the vast majority of them, even though it's nice and cheap at the moment, but something to look into for sure. You know,
I want the numbers. They didn't release the numbers. That's what we want to know. How many people how many people are on Game Pass? What's the average install rate when something like this pops up? Like, let's say an Outer Worlds or something like that. Do they see like a percentage jump? And then also how many people, if the numbers when it comes to subbing up, resubbing, do they see a decline after the first month, or does everybody just continue to keep the subscription running?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it'll be interesting, man.
And I mean, that's the whole reason why with Disney, people are like, oh, how come the Boba Fett one? What's it called? The Boba Fett show, the Mandalorian. Mandalorian. They're like, how come that one didn't get binged? Why they only do one episode? Because they want to get their money worth. They want to drag this shit out. There's 10 episodes. That's 10 months. They want to get your whatever amount that they're charging.
Netflix fucked people up, man. You know?
They got people just spoiled. Everybody wants all that shit up front. Yeah.
Well, there are a couple of shows on Netflix that are like that too, where you had to wait a week or two just for the next episode to come out.
There was when the ones that were live, I remember the Peaky Blinders was like that, because that was going live at the same time that it was doing that in the BBC. Mm-hmm. So once it aired in the BBC, the next day you had it on Netflix, and I understand that because, you know, that's real time. But there's very few. I think Amazon Prime also, they do the binging. You can do the binge like with the new Tom Clancy and stuff like that. But yeah, all the other services pretty much, you know, yeah, Hulu's always been like that, where it's like week by week you want to see an episode, Handmaid's Tale, whatever. So I don't know how we got on that, but
so, mm-hmm. It's all related.
It's all we got a shitload of services. All the fucking services.
Exactly. All right, since we actually do have time, let's talk about...
Wait. This brings up a question. That's what I was wondering. I was like, if this takes off, if xCloud 2020 dominates, right, it becomes a new norm, especially with young kids, that I was like, oh, I definitely have to have that, because that way when I'm out with my friends, or like the way Nintendo showed that, the, you know, hanging out the blacktop with their buddies instead of playing basketball, they're playing a game. This could replace that, because then in theory, the device in their pocket can play high-end quality games. All they need is a controller. And that's why Epidu started showing off their controller. I'm like, yo, this works, and this is really small. You can just shove this in your back pocket. But anyway, let's say 2020, if it takes off, do we see late 2020 or 2021 PlayStation jumping in on this and saying, yeah, we're going to go down that road?
Can they kind of already are there already. They have a service.
Yeah,
if they could somehow, that's
what I'm getting at.
If they could somehow beef up PlayStation Now, yeah,
definitely. Yeah. You think they would do it?
I think so.
I don't know, man. It's a good question.
But I don't think the one thing about PlayStation is their thing won't be the focus, though. For Xbox, xCloud is, it's over, the writing's on the wall on this thing. That's what's going to be the next Xbox, you know?
Yeah. All right, since we do have time, even though it's not exactly gaming related, it's still related to us, so we may as well talk about it. So this week, even though I believe this was in the the agreements for a while, people just discovered that basically YouTube can delete your account if you're not quote-unquote commercially viable, right? They said they're doing this kind of to protect kids or some bullshit. Chris, I don't
remember. I told you about this. Yeah. I told you. Yeah,
but I'm like, so basically it's like, yo, think about it. Like, what is it? 99% of channels aren't profitable for YouTube. They could kill all that shit if they want.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's just a blanket thing. If they want to nuke your channel, they can put it under that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll put it under that, because if you say something politically incorrect, they could say, oh, well, you're not commercially viable, and delete your whole channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly where I wanted to go with this. Like, basically, you know, there's a lot of channels, you know, I'm not going to name them, but there's a lot of channels I watch that I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're going to kill this shit just on the auspices of like, oh, it's not commercially viable. And these channels are already demonetized as it is. So they could literally go in there, oh, it's in our policy, kill your whole shit, you know?
Yeah, and you just drop everybody.
You know, like one of the, when I first heard about this, like last month, and it was a letter that was sent out. And there was one YouTuber that I follow, and he does a lot of videos, retro toys and restorations and stuff like that. And he showed this letter off, and he's like, yo, this is going to kill my site, because one, they're going to demonetize me, because they're talking about dumping him because it's toys and putting him on YouTube Kids. There's no ads. So he's not going to get any money from that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, this is going to kill me. And he said, and plus, no one's going to watch, because kids, even though it's listed as toys, don't watch this. I'm fixing old G.I. Joes from the 80s and stuff. They don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's an older audience. So you can't just pigeonhole and say, well, oh, it's a toy. You know, and it was like, oh, so if it's a video game, does that qualify as kids? Or if it's a superhero, does that qualify as kids? Because, I mean, adults like that. So let's say you have a channel dedicated to Marvel Comics or those type, or any comics. Do they list, hey, comics, that's a kid's thing. That's going to YouTube Kids.
Yeah.
It's not right. Hmm. Yeah, it's a mess. So he was recommending everybody, just in the little top section, was like, hey, you have any issues and stuff, contact them. And he said, just contact them, tell them you don't want this shit. Stop messing with the sites.
You know, this is why I'm glad we stream over on fucking right here on Twitch for you guys. But although it does suck that we could potentially lose our entire backlog, which is really fucked up.
If we're deemed commercially inviable.
Yeah. Thankfully, we still have SoundCloud, so don't subscribe to us on SoundCloud, you know?
For SoundCloud, I'm surprised that was around. Remember that? They were talking about shutting down a while ago, like 6-7 months ago.
That's crazy. Anything else you guys want to add to the YouTube shit?
Yeah, they're always adding all kinds of caveats and things in them, because
they're trying to make money.
It's not really about any of the about the you in YouTube.
No, yeah, that really, shit's gone. Yeah,
it's really just about the ads, and it's about who they can sell things to. And that's who it is.
Yeah. Well, that was the whole thing. When YouTube, the guys that created YouTube, they had a great idea, but then they realized, like, yo, this is going to be really hard to monetize and try to fix it up and organize. So when Google came along and said, hey, we'll buy it, fucking take it. Hey, go. You know, and for years, Google had a hard time trying to figure out how to make any money on it. So I knew this day was going to come where they were going to do a big purge and say, all right, we got to clean this shit up. We got to clean it up. We got to organize it. Figure out how we're going to put these ads, because they need to make some money, because this is expensive. If you think about how many, like, it's like in it's not even in a terabyte. I can't imagine how much data when it comes to video content every day that they get uploaded. You know what I mean? Yeah. That takes a lot of space. Those server farms are not cheap. It costs money to run YouTube. So I get it on the business side.
Kind of crazy. All right, I think we're done there. So now we're going to talk about Brett's favorite subject, Death Stranding. basically, because Manny's been playing it.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, Manny's been playing it. And Manny, you know, like I said, you had a really good thread about, you know, your initial takes on the game, and I think you put it pretty succinctly. So go ahead. I give the floor to you, sir.
Oh, so yeah, you know, like for me, like the just from playing the game that I did, I played up to... Let's see, what section did I play? I played up to where you kind of get that the machine that allows you to make more items and things. And I played up to that point, and I was like, the one thing I got from this game is that it's not really about instant gratification. I think a lot of people will not really sort of dig that sort of thing. I mean, especially when it comes to gaming. You know, for gaming, it's more about that sort of instant, like, you know, instant pop, instant thing. It seems like the crux of this game is, like, you're going to be a turtle. You're going to be walking slow. You're going to be doing that. But if you continue to go with it, you'll be able to get, you know, be able to get, things will get better. So it's like the more connections that you make within the world, the more footwork, you know, taking the time to do the job that needs to be done. And then you'll kind of reap the benefits later. And I think, you know, I think we talked a little bit about it, like, before, where it's like, as the game progresses and, you know, you make more things, you get this network, you can build roads, you can get more people to help you out, you can do all these different things. And I think that's the one thing about the game. And I can't stress that. It's like, you know, I personally like that sort of thing. Like, I kind of like the idea of being able to, you know, I don't mind putting work into something to get something to work. In my own life, it's just like that. You know, it's always about that sort of grind to kind of get something to get to that point. And then you have something really cool. And I don't mind any of that sort of stuff. I kind of like the sort of collecting aspects of it and all kinds of the other things. So, I mean, I personally been, you know, from that initial portions of game that I play, I kind of enjoyed it, and I want to take my time with it, to be honest. You know?
Yeah, for sure, man. And things are going to get crazier later. You're not even at the insane part yet.
No, I'm not even at the insane part. I'm like, they're still sort of giving me things, like, you know, they're still giving me the semi-tutorial thing, right? Where it's like, you know, you're like, okay, you go here, you get this, you go here. This is how these things are. This is how these things work. But it never gives you everything right away. Like, even in the beginning of the game, when they tell you all these different things, like BTs and you know, Doom, you have a certain dooms, amount of Doom.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck's Dooms? What are BTs? What are this? They don't give you any of that sort of stuff. They just kind of, like, piecemeal it to you slowly but surely as you earn more. You know, you earn more reputation, or you connect more of the network together, and then you get this sort of information. You know, so it's interesting.
Yeah, and as a longtime Kojima fan that you are, you know, again, I'm louder about it, but Manny's way bigger fan than I am. You know, he's always telling me cool things that I don't even know. And you seem to have, like, a connection to him. Every time, like, I see something that he posted, you already saw it, like, 7 hours earlier. Like, you have that power. So what do you think of it as a fan of this guy's games for, you know, since the first Metal Gear in 1987, you know?
You know, it seems like a general sort of evolution of his ideas. Like, even, like, playing this one, it's just like, it has a lot of things that feel very Kojima-ish. Like, just even the way some of the menus and things work to its, you know, to, you know, good and bad. Yes. I feel like it suffers from, you know, the little bit of the bad side of it. It's like it does suffer from a lot of the issues that I've had with the last Metal Gear Solid game, where essentially there's so many buttons that you need to press to do things that you almost forget how to do them. It's like, so you go from a menu and the menu has a different set of buttons, then you have this thing has another set of, so it's like all these different combinations of things to kind of get things to happen. I mean, granted, I do think the portion of it where you have to kind of hold your backpack and stuff like that to get him to hold it, I think that works. And I think he's trying to also, in a way, sort of build your connection with the character that you're playing in the game. You know, so, you know, he's holding his backpack tighter, you're holding it tighter on your end, you know, kind of like the, you know, when you're pressing the button, you know, you're being tortured inside of Metal Gear Solid 2 and yes. 1. Or, you know, when you're pressing the button and you're, like, climbing slowly, you know, snakes climbing through that hallway, getting microwaved.
So, yeah, I call those suffering moments where, like, both you and the character are suffering.
Yeah, and I think in that sort of sense, he's trying to sort of, trying to capture that sort of thing, too, trying to build that connection. You know, you have to hold on tighter, he holds on tighter, stuff like that. You know, it takes time to do things, and, you know, Grant, like, there, I hear there's sections where you're kind of walking for a long time to get to the next location.
Oh, man. So, yo, Kojima doesn't give a fuck about your time sometimes, bro. He's like, nope,
you're crossing. I don't think he's really seriously care. It's not about caring about your time. I think he's just more like, if you're in this, then you're going to be in this. So it's going to take a while to do this. But later on, when you're, you know, when you've finally done all this footwork, things are going to get better for you. You know, you even see it happening when you do simple things within the game, where it's like, okay, you find a bunch of discarded packages from other players, because that's also, there's like a passive, online feature where, like, some character, you know, some people kind of, like, you know, get rid of their packages, or they fall off a mountain and stuff like that, and they lose all their packages and it goes to somebody else, right? So you picking up all those packages and delivering it, even doing those sorts of things, helps you out, you know, and brings your connection higher with all the different bases that you have. So then you can start to do more things on your end. So now, like, for me, I have a high miscellaneous package slash other player connection. So now I can actually ask other players to help build structures with me.
Yeah, I got to figure out how to do that. The game, I think I may have skipped that part where it taught you how to do that, because there's a trophy for it. I got to get that shit.
Yeah, the game does dump a lot on you. Even like with a lot of the lore, they do little lore dumps throughout the game, where, in other words, you not only have your cinematic stuff, but you also have reading material within the game that kind of gets, you know, extends and grows and stuff like that as it. So, I mean, one thing about that, I think that was also the other issue I have with the game, where it's like, you know, like, remember in the old days, if you go for like a codec conversation, right, you could just continue to press the select button and go through all the different conversations, right, and let them go. As opposed to this, where it's like and Metal Gear 5, where you have to literally go out of your way in order to read these additional things. And a lot of times there's really important information to the game that's hidden within these, you know, like in 5 was these tapes. In this game, it's these emails or these things, you know. You know, one thing I really enjoyed was just like the, you know, again, having to find his footing on the different environments. You have to press that little sensor button, and you can see all the different, like the different patches of land which would probably destroy your boots a little bit faster than others.
Yeah, I don't even consider that shit. I just walk over and, you know, just make sure I have some boots on me and I'll be straight. And I'm glad. And I'm also glad they don't degrade very fast. They last a long time.
You know? No, yeah, they're like tents.
Yeah, they're bugs.
They don't degrade very fast. But like, you definitely your boots will degrade less if you're not walking on rocky ground. So like, you know, like when you know like a shoreline that has a lot of rocks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you avoid all the rocks. Right, and you walk around them, you know, and just walk on the softer grass. Your boots will actually last a lot longer. Or if you're walking on level ground or all kinds of other things, if you keep doing that sort of stuff. So I was able to kind of get more things and stuff to happen because of it.
Yeah, man. So yeah, I actually beat the game. I'm not gonna give you the whole rundown. You can check out my review, which I wanted to be out tomorrow, but it's gonna be a long one because there's a lot of shit to cover. Game is fucking dope.
Okay.
Game is fucking dope. I love it. My game of the year easily. You know, it's better than I thought it was gonna be. To be honest, like I knew I was gonna like it just as a Kojima fan, but it's because it's so different from other AAA games. It's like everything's just so out there. You know. But yeah, the ending. Prepare people. 2 fucking hours, man. You know, there's still some gameplay in there. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, bro, and they dump a shit ton of stuff at you. You thought they dumped a bunch of stuff in the beginning, man. But you know, going back to what we're saying, you know, because people are saying, oh, there's just a bunch of cinemas. No, like I would say 70% of the game, 70-75% is pure gameplay. But there's still those long ass fucking cutscenes. This is Kojima.
Yeah, there is a lot of gameplay within that stuff. Where you know, you're getting around. Those guys that want to rob you and stuff, or getting around the BTs or the ghosts and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's all this additional sort of stuff that you can kind of interact with and void or, you know, and also attack.
Yeah, but I'm digging it, man. But like I said, it's not for everybody, which is okay. Yeah, I can't like it, you know?
I can't suggest it to everything. It's just like in my Twitter thingy, I kind of likened it to Blade Runner. It's like I really like Blade Runner, but I cannot suggest the film Blade Runner to everybody because for one thing, Blade Runner kind of meanders. It kind of asks you to sit there and let it do what it needs to do. And I feel a lot of that from sort of stuff from Death Stranding where it's like there is that part, you know, but if you're not just kind of letting it do what you're doing, just like get on, move faster, then you're not kind of going to be fulfilled by it exactly. You're kind of, you know, and the other part of it is just like, I think the portions of gameplay that like we talk about where it's like the sort of walking ability, the climbing ability, the things that you have to be wary about, you know, the things that deteriorate, like your bags and stuff like that, they all deteriorate because of the rain and, you know, you have to sort of figure out what they're, you know, where to go as far as to maybe avoid what areas of rain that you can get, or sometimes they get worse. And I think a lot of times, like, I think for some people that may not sound like really engaging gameplay unless they're fighting something.
Yeah, which you do in this game too, by the way. Mm-hmm. You do get to fight motherfuckers. In a typical Kojima style, you could kill them or you could pacify them. You know, you have the choice.
Well, I mean, I would think killing them would be the worst thing ever because they turn into fucking ghosts.
They warn you about that. There's not, I can't say it because of spoilers, but I there's a story thing. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. If I kill them this way, will they really come back? But yeah, you know, the game says, like, if you need to kill them, go ahead. But just be aware. Just be aware. They're going to come back.
You know? And one question I have.
Oh, and one more.
With the pizza delivery mission.
Yes.
Where do you pick up pizza? Like, is there a pizza shop?
No, you pick it up from this, you know, a way station, just like you pick up every mission.
Because it's food. Someone had to make it.
They have a full fab. Like, the way the game works is that they have...
Adam, you know, Star Trek, they have replicators, basically.
Oh, all right, the replicator.
They have a full fabrication sections. Like, you know, they make food, they make instruments. In fact, they sometimes, like, you, like, during the things... Like when you lay down, you know, one of the things that you can make in the game is you can make post boxes, but you can make bigger things later on. But they have this kind of weird fabrication thing where it uses like a laser and it instantly prints out a, you know, like a box or like a highway, which is crazy, or a bridge. So they have some sort of kind of funky future technology, I guess, that they, you know, similar to replicators where it just essentially builds things. Using, you know, whatever. I think they probably explained it in the game. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's replicator, Adam. It's
replicator. When it goes on PS Plus, when it gets on
Plus, there you go.
Yeah, why not play it on PS Plus? But yeah, again, I would say starting out, I was like, you kind of got to let the thing do what it needs to do because it's not going to instantly gratify you, man. It's not going to give you all the answers. It's not going to give you everything all at once. You know, it's going to be a slow road, but at the same time, it'll be rewarding once you start to get further on. And I think that's what they meant, where like a lot of the games journalists were saying, like, oh, well, you know, 10 or 5 hours in, that's when it starts really getting good. I believe that's probably the point where everything you start to actually see the progress of all the different connections and things that you have done previously, you know?
Well, what you said just reminds me of the Red Dead Redemption 2 reviews, because that's what people were saying too. It's like you got these long travels, but as you progress, you'll get better equipment and the story starts getting better and stuff, but you gotta grind it out. And a lot of people walked away from it because of the grind. People just don't like that long idle of doing nothing, just traveling.
People don't like that.
Yeah.
They want the instant satisfaction, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how I everything. Think like this, right? Because we're older motherfuckers, right? Remember back in the day, you used to watch a monster movie, right? Monster wouldn't show up for an hour. Now the monster's there 2 minutes in, you know? That's just how, you know, things
are going. It was more about all the films were about the ambience, you know, a creepy environment and then kind of working your way into the scares. Now they just throw a bunch of jump scares at you in 2 seconds, you know, because it's about, you know, because there's those sorts of expectations behind, that sort of content. And I think even with games, there's also that sort of expectation. Oh, it's a game. Well, you need to do this and you need to do that. You need to shoot people, you know, you need to, you know, jump over things. Well, then I would say also there's also room in the universe of games for things that take a little bit of a slower road, you know, whether it be a Red Dead Redemption type of idea, Death Stranding sort of idea.
Yeah, for sure, man. All right, thank you for that review. And then last thing before we leave, because I just realized that the Star Wars game is out now. Some people
just finished downloading it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brett, since you're the only person on here, I believe, who's actually going excited for this. Unless I'm wrong, I don't know if anybody else is going to get it.
No.
What are you excited for about this game? Because I kind of don't know too much about it. All I know is like it's a 3D Star Wars game or a third person Star Wars game. That's all I know.
It looks like Star Wars Uncharted to me.
Yeah.
It's probably going to get compared a lot to like Star Wars Souls. It is a third-person melee Star Wars game with a little bit slower, more... It's not exactly a hack and slash. It's more kind of slow, thoughtful combat, dodging, and that's where you kind of get the Souls-esque vibe. Of course, any third-person melee game is going to be compared to that, but it's more Dark Souls, less Bayonetta.
But what? But here's a funky question.
I just know the Joker's in it.
Yeah,
the guy Jerome. No, it is Jerome.
I know. That's why it's funny. Yeah, that's why it's funny.
And Shameless. So, that's all I know.
Here's a question though about all that. It's like, okay, you're gonna do Star Wars Souls. What's somewhat doing here? Funny thing though, like a Jedi is supposed to be kind of like this really awesome thing. They're kind of better than most people. How are you gonna do Souls in that sort of world?
Well, it's
especially when you think about like where this is like a sequel. I mean, you know, a sort of prequel to the regular, you know, to Luke Skywalker verse.
This is the one Jedi that got away from the Great Jedi Purge.
The one Jedi. This seems to be a long list.
There's
of those
a lot
guys.
Of them.
Like,
yeah, there's
like,
a lot of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
well, like, yeah. Like Kaden from the friggin' Star Wars Rebels.
Maybe the one isn't.
Asajj Ventress, whatever her name is.
Yeah. Okay, so the way I would answer that would be the big point of Dark Souls was like you can be an ungodly powerhouse. Doesn't stop you from going down if you get stabbed in the back. So I think the same kind of idea goes here. And there's, you know, a lot of, you know, in the Star Wars universe, there's a lot of Jedi fighting tools, you know, vibroblades can block and fight lightsabers, things like that. So you're going to have a lot of like stormtroopers, a lot of guys that you're just throwing around the room and beating the brakes off of. And then you're going to have more elite soldiers and then eventually, you know, Imperial Sith hunters that aren't necessarily, or Imperial Jedi hunters, which aren't Sith, but, you know, essentially highly trained people retrofitted with Jedi hunting equipment coming after you. So those people provide a little bit more more challenge, but I think it's more in the pacing of it. You know, you can be flashy and fly around and spin and slash and do all that crazy stuff, but I think this is more, it's more dueling than just killing groups of enemies. So yeah, you'll see small groups, but it's almost, you know, a 1-on-4 duel where you're dodging and blocking and deflecting and so it's a bit more combat oriented. But I'm just excited about it because I love third person melee games. I feel like they don't make enough of them, and I get to swing around a lightsaber. So you know, fuck yeah, cool.
Very awesome. So look out for Brett's review next week when we're back, man. And obviously some thoughts on Sunday as well. If you have any more questions, if you have any questions for Brett about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, please submit them for this Sunday show. You know, very good stuff. I believe we are done here. Manny and I kind of dropped the ball a little bit on the giveaway shit because we've both been busy. So we'll get on that. So we got a lot of shit to give you guys. You know,
Just
be aware.
We're back to our normal kind of, when I'm back to the normal thing, we'll kind of sit around and kind of mull what we're going to do to get you. Because again, we got a bunch of I have a bunch of Death Stranding stuff, a bunch of E3 swag from the previous years. Tony's got a bunch of controllers.
I got some Logitech keyboards, son.
He's got some Logitech keyboards.
You know, it's real right now. Hold on, let me do a little bit of quick math here because next week, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh shit! Yeah, we have 4 more episodes until the year's over, people. So we'll see about. I don't know, Manny. Should we do? Yeah, we'll do a giveaway before the year's over for sure.
But I would think so. I mean, yeah. It also, you know, it kind of coincides with the time of the year, I would say, right?
Yeah, for sure. But we'll definitely start ramping them up more on a more frequent basis.
Are we gonna do a thanks giveaway?
A thanks giveaway? We should, right?
We could do that. Yeah.
You know, yeah, we got time. Thanksgiving week episode will be on Wednesday, people, as usual. You know,
I should just send Death Stranding posters to people who hate the game.
Yes.
Here, have a free poster. It's a free poster, but I hate this freaking game.
You know,
God damn you.
But you sign it. You know, so like, fuck, but I got a genuine Emilio Lopez signature.
but that wouldn't mean anything. I didn't work on the game.
Yo, you did now, man.
I was about to say, like, people be like, did he... What, he didn't work on the game? Did he do this art? I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Hey, they already thought this guy worked on the game, according to some of these Twitter guys, you know?
Oh, wait. Oh, my God. There was a really hilarious thing that happened. So, okay. So, you know how I worked on the Contra game, right? So, there's this whole string of, like Kojima Metal Gear theorists that make up all kinds of cockamamie theories. So, okay. So, you know how I worked on the Contra game? And my work has been retweeted a few times by Kojima and his people and all that stuff. So what they were trying to say was I was the connection that the Death Stranding was going to be a new Konami game.
What?
Yeah, they were saying that was somehow I was the connection that said that this was going
I gave that theory 2 thumbs up on Reddit. So
A funny thing is a friend of mine told me about this. I'm like, wait, really? What? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's this crazy Metal Gear / Kojima theorist guy. And essentially he's saying, he's like, yeah, that you are somehow the connection. Because apparently there was a whole bunch of people who didn't want to believe that Kojima had ever actually left Konami and that all of this was all a ploy to some sort of deeper ploy to
it's his own personal beach.
Yeah, yes. It's essentially that. Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh my God.
So, that's hilarious. So and somehow that I was the proof that it was that there was that
I mean, don't give it all away, Manny. Come on.
It's a throwdown exclusive, man. That is hilarious, man.
I'm not going to lie. His, like, if it wasn't for Kojima retweeting my shit, and if it wasn't for some, a lot of that sort of stuff, a lot, it would probably not have a lot of the jobs that I have gotten in the future. If, you know, Konami wouldn't have found out about my work if it wasn't for him retweeting my work, and I wouldn't have eventually worked on the things that I did with Konami if it wouldn't been for him and his producers, and, you know, saying, just giving my name over after they left Konami.
So you're saying it's true?
It's yes. Not true. I want to say this. It's only the part of it that of me getting work at Konami is Kojima and his guys. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have been.
Your name has leaked from his lips.
So even if he didn't directly do it, it did have an effect on my art career. But other than that, that's all there.
You've all heard it here first. Manny is actually secretly Kojima.
Yes.
I take off my mask like the Mega Siggy 64 guys. Like, are you.
Manny, can I hang out with Jeff Keighley tomorrow, man?
Wait, you want him to hang out with Jeff Keighley?
Yeah, if you're Kojima, you know, he's your boy, you know?
Okay. I'll just call him now.
You know? I don't want speed dial, you know? Do they even have speed dial anymore? Is that even a thing anymore? I'm old.
I guess.
No. I don't know. Three-way calling isn't even a thing. Remember that?
Every number is speed dial if you think about it.
Yeah, because especially if you have it inside of... Phone,
man, yeah. I just showed my age, man.
No, but think about it. Do you remember three-way calling when you talk to somebody? He's like, you put them on hold and then you dial somebody. You can't do that now.
Well, now we got this.
Can you?
We got this. No,
we got this. But I mean, if you're on your phone.
Wait. Brett said we can. How can you do this?
You add call once you're on a phone call with somebody.
I've never done
it's called that. It's called conference calling.
Oh, okay.
Oh shit, man. See, the young bucks ought to teach us, man.
Shit.
Man. You know, even I'm like, yo, you want a conference call?
I don't think I've ever seen that. Conference
call right now.
I've never used it. Have you used it, Brad?
No.
Yeah, I use it all the time.
Oh, shit. I'm going to call all you guys then at the same
time. Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to have throwdown after show.
Right? It's crazy, man. All right, we're done here, man. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight is joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys. And yes, don't forget, Anime NYC is this week. This weekend, and I'll be there at my Artist Alley table, C8, and drawing stuff, selling stuff. I'm gonna have my copies of Solid Zero. I'm gonna have the digital edition, which looks like an audio tape. I'm going to have a couple of Death Stranding things. I'm going to have some Metal Gear stuff, some Kingdom Hearts stuff, all kinds of stuff. But you know what? Just drop by, say hello if you're inside and if you're in New York and going to the show.
Yay. All right. And by the way, shout out to Glorious War, who literally just showed up now. You're late, brother.
Party's over.
You know, Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Brett Murdoch.
Did I start going by Mr. Occasionally Die?
Yes. Adam Vale.
Don't worry about it. There's other games to play besides Death Stranding. Go play some Outer Worlds or something. Or Call of Duty!
Play that Call of Duty.
And Brian Manjoma.
I'm betting 10 pounds that the YouTube guy was young year.
Oh, man. Oh, God. All right. We'll see y'all on Sunday. Later.
Later, guys.
Deuces.
Deuces.